teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. 'Cause they're the ones who's coming up and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can.
Oh, hello, hello, and welcome back here to the Teacher's Cup of Coffee. So happy to be with you, and we're going to continue our journey here into teaching anti-racism in schools, making schools that are a place that teach about racism, teach about anti-racism, and as we discussed on the opener, sort of give us a language so that we can attack this in schools, so that we don't stay silent any longer. And that's probably the best way to say it, is we need to give racism a language. We need to give it a structure. We need there to be a way for students and staff to think about it. Because just like we said about bullying, it should at least have a framework that allows students to identify it and react accordingly. So bullying has this, right? We have victims, we have bullies, we have upstanders, we have bystanders, we have the perpetrators. And this gives us a framework. So when we built this framework in schools, it allowed us to start to attack bullying. It allowed us to start having conversations around bullying. It allowed us to sort of understand the different levels of participation in bullying that existed. And we have none of this when it comes to racism in most of our discourse. So that's where we're going to start in today's episode, is we're going to talk about the continuum of racism, the continuum of racism, continuum being the most important word there. So a trick in America, a trick of systemic racism, is that we think there are two discrete types of people. You're either racist or you're not racist. That's it. And the systemic racism in America creates this dichotomy. So it's essentially the system shuts down all reflection. It shuts down all nuance, all deep understanding. Basically, I'm racist or I'm not. And if I'm not racist, that's all that matters. That's it. It's over. I'm not racist. That, you know what? And that's like saying you're either a bully or not a bully. Because most of us aren't bullies, right? But we also aren't always against bullying. So we totally leave out all of the bystanders who see bullying and do nothing about it. We leave out a celebration of the upstanders that fight against bullying. So that's why we need to give racism this kind of language. In schools, once we named bystanders, we started to finally make inroads into stopping bullying. And same thing, once we named upstanders, we started to finally make more inroads. So now it wasn't just bullies and victims. Now we had upstanders, bystanders as well, and it allowed us to teach about it and to improve the conditions for students. So let's do the same for racism. Let's teach kids that there is more to it than just racist and not racist. Let's teach them the racism continuum. So this whole series about what can we do? Well, one thing we can do is we can teach the racism continuum. Okay, here's what it is. Draw a long line on a piece of paper or on the board. Put an arrow on each side of that line. On the far left side, underneath that arrow, write racist. In the middle of that line, write not racist. And on the far right side, write anti-racist. So far left, racist. Middle, not racist. Far right, anti-racist. Now look at that for a while. Start to think about what that continuum means. What does that continuum mean? When we get away from I'm racist or I'm not racist, and we start to see it on a continuum, going all the way from racist through not racist up to anti-racist, what does that mean? Well, what it means is that in every situation, in every thought, in every interaction, we can land on different places on this continuum. So I'm not the same person in every single thing that happens. I'm in different places on the racism continuum, depending on that moment and depending on my response. We can be a little racist in one moment, not racist in another moment, and very anti-racist in another moment. And that's just one person. Think of anti-racist as being an upstander. An upstander does something about the bullying they observe. And when you're being anti-racist, you do something about the racism that you see happening. This could mean telling someone a joke is inappropriate, standing up for a black or brown friend when they face a racist act, or something as large as marching for equity and equality. You know, being not racist That means we didn't participate in the racism, but we didn't counteract it either. And to be honest with you, this is how I spent most of my life. Before I understood this continuum, I often settled for just being not racist, not doing anything to fight racism, but being not racist. And in the American model of racist and not racist, this is what the system wants us to do. It wants us to live here. It just wants us to be quiet. Don't interrupt the system that uplifts white people. Don't mess things up. Just be quiet. Be happily not racist. But listen, once we understand this continuum and once kids understand this continuum, then they will know that in every situation that includes race, there is work for us to do. So this continuum being taught to kids can allow us to start to understand the nuance of moment to moment and interaction to interaction racism, and can allow all people, black, white, and brown, to improve. So, all right, now when we go to teach this to kids, we got to draw the continuum on the board, just like we just drew it for ourselves. We got to explain it to kids. Obviously, we need to make it appropriate to the student's age level. I would argue you can't teach this too soon. No one would say, don't teach bullying that early because that's a bad idea. Nope, we want to teach bullying early so kids quickly, early in their formative years, understand what it is and know how to counteract it and know not to do it. It's the same with racism. It's got to be taught early so students can identify it and know what to do about it. So make it appropriate to your student's age level. And then you can discuss scenarios. Discuss things that happen. Discuss microaggressions. Discuss anti-racist acts. Discuss different scenarios and talk about what someone did in that scenario. Okay, it doesn't need to be about things that actually have happened in your class. You just give some scenarios and say, this is what happened. This is what someone did. Where is that someone on the continuum? Where is that someone on the continuum in that moment? All right, and then you might say, and then they did this later on. Now where are they on the continuum? Because we all move around on this continuum. Have students determine where that person was on the continuum in their actions. And then we got to keep this continuum up. Keep it up for the whole year. Go back to it often. Use it. Now, when we teach this continuum to kids, there's a second part that is also very important. All right, so when people land on this continuum in different situations, there's two ways they can land there. They can land there intentionally or unintentionally. So I can be intentionally anti-racist or intentionally a little racist, which means I knew what I was doing in my action. I knew that it was racist. But then in this society that's built on uplifting whiteness, there's this whole other thing that can happen where we can be unintentionally racist or unintentionally not racist, not even realizing that that's where we're falling in that moment. Because we all live in a country, you know, that we can't deny. It was built on an economy for hundreds of years was founded on the slavery of black people. And we all live in a country that imprisons black and brown people at an exponentially higher rate than white people. So there is systemic racism all around us. And we can't help, unfortunately, we can't help but absorb this. So therefore, all of us, black, brown, white, we've been conditioned in some instances to have racist thoughts or emotions that we don't intend to have, that we don't mean to have. So let's give some examples. You know, like if you've ever felt a physiological response to a stranger walking towards you based on his or her race, that might be some unintentional racism that you need to work on. Your brain, your thoughts are not reacting in a racist way, but your body is having a physiological response. That's unintentional racism that person needs to work on. If you've ever assumed something about someone else based on their race, that might be some unintentional racism that you need to work on, right? And that can happen. You know, we can all have prejudiced thoughts or discriminatory thoughts that they arise before we even have time to control the thinking. And that's some unintentional racism that we've been sort of conditioned to have that we need to work on. If you're white and you've ever asked a black person if you can feel their hair or touch their hair, that's some unintentional racism that we need to work on, right? So I think it's really important to understand that in every moment, and I say understand, what I should be saying is that it's really important that kids understand that in every moment that has anything to do with race, we can be anti-racist, we can be not racist, or we can be racist. And then at the same time, where we land on that continuum could be intentional, on purpose, we knew it, or unintentional. We didn't mean to. It was built into us, and it's something we have to work on. We have to fight. We have to counteract ourselves. The point is that you are not a bad person because you demonstrate unintentional racism. That's really important. We need kids to understand that this is a journey. This is an endeavor. And if you demonstrate unintentional racism that's been conditioned into you, it doesn't make you a bad person. It does make us not a great thing if we don't see it and then learn to counteract it, right? If we can't just keep doing it and saying it's unintentional. No, we have to identify it. And that's why we have to teach this continuum to kids so they can see, oh, there I was not racist. There I was anti-racist. There I was racist. We have to be able to see this, and we have to teach kids to see this. And then the conversations, by the way, will be better. So you're not a bad person when this happens. You're mainly just a product of American society that, you know, as a society, still has some, we have some internal work to do in order to overcome the biases that have been pushed upon us. What matters is noticing the racism and being anti-racist as a response. So this is a lot. This is a lot. But if schools want to address racism, if schools want to stop just having PDs on racism and stop just doing one or two things about race, if schools really want to address it at the student level, we need to teach kids the racism continuum. We need to teach kids that all of us are on different places on this continuum moment to moment. We need to teach them that intentional and unintentional racism happen all the time. They happen all the time. If we just act like, no, I'm not racist, racism doesn't happen, that's just so neglectful to what's actually happening for kids. We need to demystify racism. We have totally demystified bullying by giving it a language and giving it a framework. It's time to give racism a language and a framework. We give it this framework and we teach kids to analyze themselves and analyze those around them. We make racism something we can see, something we can think about, something we can talk about, something we can fight against. And we make anti-racism the goal. Just like bullying made upstanding the goal, a focus on bullying made upstanding the goal, we focus on racism and we make anti-racism the goal. And in doing all of this teaching and working with kids and talking to kids, we upend our system of silence, which is built on racist and not racist only. Systemic racism doesn't want us to think this way. They want us to say, hey, I'm not racist. That's it. Move forward. No, we're going to fight against that. We're going to teach our kids to fight against that. We're going to teach them the racism continuum. We're going to refer to it often. This is going to give racism a language, a framework, and the attention it deserves. And it's also going to create young minds that can understand and analyze racism in ways that most adults can't. This is the step one. I told you this is going to be a series. This is a series about how we can actually fight racism in schools. And I am telling you right now, in my opinion, step one is we must teach the racism continuum. We must talk about it. We must go back to it often. It must be something that kids understand, just like they understand the bullying continuum, and that has had a positive impact on less bullying in schools. Hope you got something out of this. Hope you're going to take that leap and teach this in your school or your classroom. And I hope you enjoyed us. Thanks for joining us here on the Teacher's Cup of Coffee. Oh, wake up.